Yes, I'm ready.
Pitter patter.
Let's get at her.
Hey there, Christy. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad.
Alrighty.
Welcome back to A Thinking Person's Guide to Letterkenny. This is our episode 19, you said?
19.
Did you include last week's?
I did.
All right.
19. That would have been 18. That's how numbers work. At least that's what people tell me.
Yeah. I was going to say, getting a tutorial on the mathematics from you.
Yeah, I don't know if our listeners know that I consider math dark magic, the work of Satan, unpredictable, mostly useless. That is my view of math.
You seem to function well enough within a world that the rest of the world pretty much believes in math.
Yeah. I mean, you have to believe some things in order to get along. You tell me 2 + 2 = 4? Possibly it is.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Right. And you're, as we've discussed before, you're prone to magical thinking, so you're willing to accept all sorts of voodoo.
Yes, exactly. Right. Which is why I suspect math is its own form of voodoo.
And that's why we don't have to do a segment on shit Crispy says.
Okay, so to go back to what you were just trying to say, we said last week that we would be embedding 2 bits shit that comes out of Christy's mouth.
Mm-hmm. Or Crispy, as she will refer to now.
There was a middle school moment.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, where I was, it was Crispy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate to dredge up those.
Oh, it's okay. It was a short one. That's not the really bad nickname, which we're not going to get into today. I will not give those fellows credence.
Yeah, I respect that. I know there's.
We'll get to it.
There's
another
some
time.
Things that are. Yeah. Are,
middle school was hard for Christy.
Yeah. Middle school is not fun for anyone.
Yeah. I, no.
You know.
Good Lord. But, good yeah, God, no.
Rougher still.
I just would have appreciated a teacher going, "Hey, she's being bullied. We should do something."
Did they even know that word existed back then?
I mean, they could have just been like, "Hey, I don't think anyone's being nice to Christy, now she's acting out violently."
Yeah.
But instead, they were like, "Why are you acting out violently?"
I think they were more likely to say, "What are you doing wrong that these other kids are being mean to you?"
Yeah, that was what Mrs. Spear told me.
At least in my school, that you would be more likely to be singled out for your failure to conform.
Yeah,
than
exactly.
Them acknowledge that somehow there was anything like bullying behavior. But we digress.
We do digress. Okay, so we had said we might add 2 bits.
Yeah.
Shit that comes out of Christy's mouth.
Right.
And
right.
Shit that pisses off Dwight about Pittsburgh. So we just...
I haven't signed off on that title of that sub-segment, by the way. Christy's been trying to push that.
What do you want to call it?
There's a lot of different ways to approach it. I mean, you know...
Yinzers be yinzers.
Yinzers be cray. Crazy fucking yinzers. There's a lot of other ways. But I can't think of anything that's occurred to me of late that would fit that bill either.
Oh, no, you just got really pissed off yesterday because a car was parked the wrong way on the street.
Oh.
That consistently pisses you off.
Yeah, that's not a new thing. Yeah, I thought that would be something. No.
No, but, you know,
no,
it pisses you off.
That's antisocial behavior. That is just the acme of antisocial behavior.
Yes.
So just for those who aren't aware, Pittsburgh is, and especially the South Hills of Pittsburgh, is a series of neighborhoods that just bring this shithousery to an absolutely unbelievable new level. One... Narrow streets, no sidewalks.
No, okay,
bad enough to start with.
You don't deserve sidewalks.
Then they,
fuck you.
But because of the narrow streets, then they almost invariably obligate or allow parking only on one side of the street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then this then facilitates all sorts of shenanigans, meaning people just deciding that they want to park on that side of the street. They don't care if they're going the right direction. They'll just cross the lanes and park there in the opposite direction. and do this everywhere. And yeah, without any regard to any form of humanity.
So, to prove your point, when I was in college, I went to school, I don't know, I feel like you've mentioned on here before, but I went to school an hour north of Pittsburgh in a little lovely town called Beaver Falls, PA. And apparently there, you are supposed to abide by some parking laws. And so I did not know that you should park in one way on one side of the street and another way.
What the rest of the world calls the right way.
I did not know until...
Both because it's on the right side of the road and because it's correct in any moral universe.
I would park every which way in front of my house.
Oh, yeah.
I know. And I mean, everybody on my street did. Like, it was just everybody everywhere did that I knew. And so I think it was my sophomore year. I got a ticket for parking the wrong way. And I remember calling my dad and being like, what the fuck? I don't even understand. What does that mean?
My wheels were on the bottom. I wasn't upside down this time. Exactly. I wasn't on the grass. I wasn't parked. No, Dad, I was not parked in the tree this time.
Not this time. I kept all four wheels on the ground. And he was like, yeah, you're supposed to park with the flow of traffic. And I was like, that doesn't even make sense. I don't understand.
I'm confident that you are in the majority in Pittsburgh. But
hell yeah.
But that doesn't make it right. That is no absolution for this.
I have anti-human
behavior.
I have since learned better. And I do agree with you that now, because I understand the ways of the rest of the world, when I see a car parked in the wrong direction, mm-hmm. as we just saw yesterday on our street, I do get a little, you're parked the wrong way. But also, I don't care, because I'm like, oh, Pittsburgh, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so cute. yeah, the worst was the one yesterday I highlighted. It was a guy who came down this street, mm-hmm. and... Rather than parking, I'm sure it's his parents' house because he's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen this fellow.
Yeah, rather than park on the right side, going the direction he came in on, he turned around and parked opposite, going back out of the subdivision.
Which
so that it would be easier
when he goes to leave.
And get out of his truck, the lazy son of a bitch. I love them too because these are the people that are usually you're like decrying people for being snowflakes. I'm like, what? How big a snowflake is it? You can't walk around your truck. You can't walk around one side of your truck and not be antisocial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's a good way to kick this segment off. That's probably my biggest gripe with Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
today.
That's one of your biggest gripes with shit Yinzers do.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll probably be a lot less stimulating from here on out. Not that that was stimulating, but
it was probably interesting and mm-hmm. made a few people laugh.
Yeah, well,
anyone who's not from Pittsburgh and who's never been here is like, what the hell's going on in that lawless land?
Right.
Anyone who is from Pittsburgh is chuckling to themselves because, yep, that's how we do.
Oh, the mm-hmm. lawless land that is. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the South Hills are
We should probably point out that if you're hearing in the background like a light tapping that sounds like it could be, I don't know, maybe a dog doing some tap dancing.
Or a raccoon trying to scratch its way out of a concrete prison.
I hope that fucking raccoon gets out. That's a terrible place to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? You can't do the time, don't do the crime. That's what I say.
Raccoons are, they're famously doing the crimes and not wanting to do the times.
Hello, they've got little bandit masks
on. Yeah, they're wee little bandits. They're so cute.
They're criminals.
I should note that Megan, my friend Megan, hates raccoons for their tiny hands. I love raccoons for their tiny hands. Anyway, the sound that you're hearing, which has just now paused...
Speaking of pause, can we pause right there for a little segment I like to call Pedant's Corner? contrary to popular belief, mm-hmm. raccoons don't have hands. They have paws. And they don't actually have opposable thumbs.
Unlike the panda bear.
I set you up for that. You did. I know you've been wanting to talk about it.
I have been. Yeah. We watched a little episode of a nature documentary.
Nerd alert.
Where we learned that panda bears have evolved to the point that they have a wrist bone. They are the only bears that have a wrist bone, mm-hmm. which then enables their paws, not hands, enables their paws to act like they have opposable thumbs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's freaking amazing.
Why do they have, why do they?
Because all they do is lay around and sit around and eat bamboo all fucking day.
All damn day.
They're my favorite. They're just lazy, antisocial bears. They don't like to talk to other bears.
They don't. We learned that in the documentary.
Yeah, too, and they're the only bears that have a purely vegetarian diet. They basically were just like, I really just want to be lazy and eat bamboo. So, buddy, can you make that happen?
Yeah, that's not how evolution works.
That's how evolution works.
I think maybe your understanding of evolution, it might be kind of on par with your understanding of mathematics, but
I actually think I understand evolution slightly more than math.
Well, which they're both the dark arts.
Yeah, right. They are. Yeah. Anyway, you were saying that raccoons do not have opposable thumbs.
No,
bones.
Right? Nor do they wash their food, interestingly enough. That's a misconception.
People think they wash their food?
Oh, yeah. If you've washed
their food. Oh, right, because they, like, fondle it with their hands.
They'll actually dip it in water. That's because they don't have as effective salivary glands as many other animals. So they actually are using that to create enough moisture to masticate and swallow food.
You said masticate.
That's the proper term in this context.
I know. Get
And now you know what I'm dealing with, dear listener, constantly.
And all I'm picturing is a raccoon masturbating with his not opposable thumbs. Okay. So, anyway, we've digressed even further.
You were saying about
the noise in the background, which has returned. Mm-hmm. So here's what you're hearing, guys. You are hearing Shootsy doing his nightly.
Hopefully, you remember Shootsy, our sweet little Pomeranian.
Sweet little puppo.
Who is not a Pomeranian.
Turns out is not a Pomeranian.
We've decided, but we'll get on to that someday, maybe.
Yeah, perhaps, well, that should be. Maybe we'll talk about
we'll
that.
We'll tease
next
that
week.
For you. But yeah, our sweet little puppy.
Sweet little puppy. Not remember the potato incident?
Not so much. Yeah, right. he the potato incident.
So he is doing his nightly fold and fuck, which is Shootsy fucking a pillow. It's his pillow. Nobody else touches it
nor would they want to.
Yeah, no one should touch it. It is quite disgusting, the pillow. It's very dirty. I don't think he like jizzes on it, but it just there's a lot.
We do have a clean rating on this, by the way, but probably not for long.
We have a clean rating?
I think we have to self report if we're being explicit.
But I swear all the time.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think we should have a clean rating.
No. True.
Okay, so this is explicit. He's fucking the pillow.
Right.
And the reason he's fucking the pillow is because Dwight is opposed to getting our doggy
fixed.
This
is not cause and effect here. He's fucking the pillow because he has urges. Urges that proceed from the natural circumstances of having testicles.
These tiny little balls. They're so cute. They're tiny little balls.
Yet his mother constantly feels the urge to separate him from...
Yeah, and he's going to have to lose them. So.
Right. I mean, no pillows have been harmed in the making of this podcast.
Well, just that one pillow. Well, but it's his.
Yeah, right.
It's
yeah.
his pillow. Right. So.
There you go. So now we're on to season 5, episode 1. We don't fight at weddings.
No, we don't.
And so this is proceeds directly after a super hard Easter,
which was a one-off, right? The way they do their
season endings,
yeah,
and they do it usually around a holiday,
right? And then they
so
do a special.
That episode was not tied to either the one that preceded it or follows it. This one.
So So really, it's coming after season 4, episode 6, which is A Great Day for Thunder Bay.
Right. Which is the opening scene, actually, of this episode begins recapitulating. Yeah, now,
takes us back
the
to
the last moments yeah. of that.
So the very yep. last moments of season 4, episode 6 was Tannis trying to get Wayne to join her in the barn, but he was still with Rosie. And so they left us on this
cliffhanger.
Yes, thank you, cliffhanger. That, you know, will he, won't he? Yeah. It's very dramatic.
Right. And we were left to assume that he probably did.
Right. Well, we saw him get up and
right.
go somewhere, yeah. which, right. you know, the right. viewer assumes he's going to Rosie or Tannis.
Right.
But what we find out in the intro to this episode is that Wayne goes to Rosie mm-hmm. to break up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you can't be with one woman and have feelings for another.
Right. And they play this whole thing out with everyone everyone pretty much in the cast having some input as to what he's up to.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So they do you get everybody's input. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And so. And you know, it ranges from some people being very gung-ho for him to go after Tannis. I think that's...
Josie and Riley.
Right. And even the Skids to some degree.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some people expressing profound reservations, namely Katie.
Katie. Very... Because she really likes Rosie. And also really doesn't want him to cheat on Rosie.
Right.
But she is... We discover she's fine with him being with Tannis. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
She just didn't want him to cheat.
Right.
Because that's not a thing Wayne would do.
Right.
Yeah.
And turns out he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He's a good guy.
Right.
So he goes to talk to Rosie, and she says she's moving.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, cool, because I was coming to break up with you. And so they end things.
He never says that. She says she's moving to Vancouver to become part of a pit bull rescue.
Yeah.
Which is the other side of Canada, if you don't know the geography.
Oh, yeah. That's a helpful point. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like moving from New York to Seattle.
Yeah.
So.
Sure would.
Yeah. So that introduces the circumstance, which means that Wayne is now back with Tannis on some level.
Yes. So, yeah. Uh-huh. So they decide they're going to give it a try.
Right.
So that's our recap sort of the previous mm-hmm. season and gets us up here.
Yep.
So we're scene one. We've got Squirrely Dan, Derry, Wayne, Katie, all sitting around the kitchen table.
Yep.
Talking about that there is a wedding coming up.
Yep.
And then we also have a whole riff on the word moist because Katie hates the word moist.
Yep.
Wayne says it and then it... It just kind of continues.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that they tell the viewer, we don't fight at weddings.
Because
mm-hmm. she says, I will fight you. And he says, we don't fight at weddings.
Does Wayne.
Yes. And so that's our first, we don't fight at weddings.
The title has been established.
Right.
Yep. And this scene also has reference to Derry's suit. His dad's suit. Katie asked him if he's going to wear it.
It's so dad. Yeah.
It's so dad, as Squirrely Dan says. They told me Dire Straits is the greatest band of all time.
I like their dad jokes about his suit.
It's so dad at a VHS with Hunts for Red October.
And when I heard that, I was like, I'm pretty sure my dad does have a VHS of Hunt for Red October.
I just didn't say that, right? The Hunts for Red October. It's Squirrely Dan, after all, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. We also learned that there's going to be a lot of Sidiots.
Goddamn Sidiots.
At the wedding, because which one?
Dax or Ron
one
is
of the
from, is... From a city?
Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And we learn that Squirrely Dan is going to wear his kilt, which he describes as little class, little sass, and a lot of ass.
Right. Yep.
And then they end by...
Yep, having a shot.
Having a shot.
Gustin Brew.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're off to the wedding. You see him enter. You got the dad. Oh, you got Katie, who you commented on how...
Yes.
They all enter in a procession.
Mm-hmm. Each of them, we get like Katie a shot on Katie with a little
black dress.
Mm-hmm.
And tall and lithe.
Right.
You got Squirrely Dan in his kilt and regalia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Derry in his dad suit. Yeah. With boots.
With boots. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Tannis.
Right. Which I wrote down, sexy fucking bitch. She just looks great.
Hot little red outfit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. Wayne kind of looking a little like James Bond almost.
Yeah. He looks quite fancy.
Yeah.
So then we also meet the Sidiots in this scene.
Right away. Three guys.
Oh, God. Yeah. They're such... Right. So it's, you know, the city asshole version of, right, Squirrely Dan, Derry, and Wade. Mm-hmm. We've got these three guys.
Mm-hmm. And they're constantly, regularly throughout the episode, visiting a litany of stereotypes.
Yes.
Of the rural rube. Presented from their oh-so-cosmopolitan perspective.
That's such a great way to put it. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, everything they say is just mocking the people who are, quote, from the country.
A lot of references to snowmobiles and
yeah.
pickup trucks and, mm-hmm. and that stuff, right? Not that different farming from here to there. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then they do attempt to hit on Katie and Bonnie, but...
Sure, that starts immediately, right?
Yeah, because that's... Right. That's what they do. They're
yeah. We got the Skids muscles. DJing. So you've got...
Yes, that's our next scene. That's where we get right, Stuart yeah. and Roald are DJing.
Right.
So probably not who you want to DJ your wedding. Yeah. But...
Man, in a small town, you probably got to make concessions to...
So they choose yeah. them.
Right.
And McMurray is upset because he just wants them to play the chicken dance.
Just... Yeah, and he's adamant that they're going to play it before the night's over.
Right, he wants to hear the chicken dance. So they're just playing, like, emo beats and a lot of,
their stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then our next scene, we've got Dax and Ron are talking to Jonesy and Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling them that... they don't have what it takes to get the city gals, and that they have to Bruce it up.
If they get in touch with their inner twink.
That's right. That's what they said. Yes.
If they want to get the cosmopolitan girls. They can't be the soccer types. Or soccer, I mean hockey types.
Hockey types, right. Yes, yeah. Or soccer types.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that probably would work better.
Mm-hmm.
So that sets that we know Jonesy and Riley are going to do whatever they think it takes to try to get some city girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... our next scene, Wayne, Tannis, Derry, Squirrely Dan, they're just sitting around the table, chit-chatting, and it comes up that Squirrely Dan says that Professor Trisha's said that their town is becoming a scene for the gay community. And so then they say, oh, we're probably going to have a gay pride parade next year. And they start talking about what should be the title of that parade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
in your usual fashion, it's all of them are puns on popular cultural references.
Yes.
Mostly films.
Yes.
But also songs.
Yeah. You're right. It's both films and songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cultural pre-existing cultural properties that are mutated.
Yes. Look at you. What a great way to say that.
My favorite was Hard Gaze Night.
Independence Gay.
Right. That was the other one I wrote down, too. Mm-hmm. Dr. Strange Glove.
I really liked How Fella Got His Groove Back.
That was right.
But my absolute favorite was Eat Gay Love.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. They did a lot. They did many of them, and they're all funny.
Right, as they tend to do. Yeah. And then we get our first...
Another round of the Sidiots coming by provoke them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. So they come around to hit on... I think they're hitting on Bonnie, but I don't remember Bonnie sitting at the table. But anyway,
Bonnie had met Katie at the drink lab.
They
come back at the end of this scene.
Yes. Because
she says Bonnie and Pride.
That's well done. Yeah. Good job, babe. And then the Sidiots come over and they're like harassing the ladies and trying to hit on them, but just being.
And then the title of the episode is invoked once again.
Yes, we don't fight at weddings. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So then Bonnie, Katie, and Tanis are waiting in line for the bathroom and run into the Sidiots yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where they hatch their plan.
Not exactly. No, they just get further.
Just further annoyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Further
All right. Annoyed, yeah. yeah. They this don't, is where they it's don't the most. This is the most. Little, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's most. Yeah. Because Tanis, Bonnie, and Katie are all there, and they're
all
equally affronted.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then next we're back to the DJ booth. Mm-hmm. Stuart. And now Dickskin is requesting songs.
Yeah. Dickens.
Right.
The tall auctioneer guy. Mm-hmm. Right. And he wants to hear some Boot Scoot and Booby.
Yep.
From Brooks and Dunn.
Yes, that's all he wants. And he does a whole thing on the, he does the wordplay with.
Yeah, boogie songs.
Right. And so take the damn boogie and make it a boot scootin'.
Right.
He just says a lot of stuff like that. Yep. And they don't want to play Boot Scoot Boogie. And this is where McMurray shows up with the chicken dance on a cassette tape.
He's gone back to his ranch, his farm, to get it out of the tractor.
That's right.
Which is never mentioned again, but why you'd have it in your tape player in your tractor and you're listening to it while you're working in the fields.
That doesn't make any sense.
The chicken dance? No.
I don't think I would be able to tractor very well. I would be like jerking the wheel along with the song.
That's what she said.
Don't masticate.
Stop masticating.
Stop masticating.
Stop masticating in the tractor cab.
What? What? Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Anything else to add up to this point?
No, I think Dickens leaves frustrated that he's not getting, hasn't got his song played. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then we see Jonesy and Riley.
All bruised up.
They've got their hair styled differently. I think they have their shirt sleeves rolled up or something.
Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
Right, they did like
cocktails. They got specialty cocktails. Yeah. Where they were drinking whiskey before, I think.
And they just look silly.
Right. And they end up talking to Katie and Bonnie.
Yes. Yeah. Explaining that
they're
bruised up.
They're bruised up.
For the city gals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they basically are told in no uncertain terms by Katie that how big of an idiots they are.
Yeah. And this is not going to work.
Yet again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Next we see Tanis and Wayne, I think just standing there having a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the point of this scene is just... One, Tanis is annoyed with the alcohol that they have because they have, I'm assuming they probably have a lot of these like Cosmo type drinks, right? Because she says, I can't drink this shit anymore. What am I, a ballerina trying to get skinny? Which is awesome. And then the Sidiots show up yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where she's just fucking had it, right? She's over it. And... This is not...
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this is where Wayne says, once again, we don't fight at weddings.
Mm-hmm.
With emphasis on the at.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So we will get to where that's going.
Right.
So then we see Jonesy and Riley, and they are attempting to hit on two ladies who they assume are city ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls don't, they're not interested because they're like, you don't look like real men.
Right.
And then Jonesy and Riley are like, but we're hockey players. We are real men. And they say,
we're not puck bunnies.
We're lacrostitutes.
Which is another bit of wordplay.
Yes, we love the wordplay.
Yep.
Love it. We're back at...
Oh, that scene ends with them realizing how silly they are. And the line stuck out was, I don't drink this kind of stuff. I drink beer. Like they were under a trance or something. Or
yeah, they're like, yeah, right. The spell has been broken. We can go back to being ourselves. Yeah. And then we're back at the DJ booth.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's really just that McMurray and Dickskin are trying to get their song played again, right?
Well, it's the couples dance.
Oh, that's right. Oh my goodness. I messed up on my notes.
Yeah, no, it's the big couples dance.
It's the big couples dance.
Each of them is like, oh, this is going to be where the song I requested is played.
Right, but yes.
Obviously, it's the song requested by the groom.
Right, the grooms, which is, Fuck the Pain Away. Mm-mm. Fuck the Pain Away. Mm-mm. Fuck the Pain Away.
Is that the actual title of it?
I assume it is. I don't know. This one's been stuck in my head. It's the recurring...
Well, it's the refrain, yes. Yeah. But it's...
Well, we'll find out in a moment.
Uh-huh.
So what we get at this scene is that Dax and Ron are doing their couples dance while the ladies then get the Sidiots to follow them to a hotel room.
The ladies being Bonnie, Katie, and Tannis.
Yes, sorry. Bonnie, Katie, and Tannis. Entice, lure, whatever you want to say, the Sidiots to follow them to a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And so the Sidiots are like, yeah, it's time to fuck.
They don't say that.
No, they don't say that. But that's what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, it's fight time.
Right, because they're no longer at the wedding.
Right, they're not at the wedding. They're at a hotel room, which might be at the same venue where the wedding is taking place, but that's not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So Wayne, Derry, and Squirrely Dan are waiting in the hotel room when the entourage gets there. And shenanigans, hijinks, if you will, ensue.
Yes. The Sidiots get the shit beat out of them.
Yeah. Right. Which we never see, but it happens.
Yeah. We see it's a pretty typical fight scene for Letterkenny where you see Wayne about to throw a punch.
Yeah.
And then the camera shifts to Squirrely Dan hitting him over the head, hitting another guy over the head with a bottle. A lot of that. It is called, the song is called Fuck the Pain Away.
Okay.
It is by the group Peaches. And it's a pretty...
No, it's a lovely little romantic ballad. really pulls the heartstrings.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah,
you can see why... there it goes.
You're welcome.
I think there's copyright rules.
Oh, probably. Okay. I don't know. That wasn't 30 seconds, so we're probably fine.
It's actually 7 seconds.
Okay, well, I'm sure we're fine.
Yeah, I'm sure we're
fuck
fine.
Fuck the pain away.
In fact, then nobody's listening to this.
Yeah, anyway, exactly. So,
dear listener, we know you are. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really do care that you listen to us. It makes us very happy.
Yep, we're stunned and amazed to have 24 listens in the first 24 hours after you put out that silly little episode last week.
Yeah, it's so crazy. We're very gratified.
And so we're happy to be back, interested to keep going on down the road. We started watching the new season, as I'm sure you have, and find it quite enjoyable. So we're looking forward to catching up and keeping on down that road.
Is there anything else about this episode that you would like to call our attention to or discuss?
What happened? So the, yeah, the Sidiots get what they deserve. Mm-hmm. And Tannis is with Wayne.
For now.
And the hockey boys get hit on by some older ladies.
Yep, the older ladies want Jonesy and Riley.
Seems apropos.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's about it. You know, it's a fun episode to start with.
Yeah,
it's good. Remember when we first saw this episode? So when we first saw this episode was when we were watching way back when, 2021, January, in Arizona. And for whatever reason, the Hulu had skipped ahead inexplicably and started right at the scene with the song and when they're doing the dance and the fight part, and we had no idea. We didn't realize it jumped ahead. I thought it was the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, it's like they never start an episode like this. What is happening?
It was so
it was a little unsettling.
So I was reminded of that when we reviewed it last night.
But yeah.
Beyond that, no, it's a good way to start season 5.
Yeah.
Looking forward to reacquainting ourselves with the rest of this season.
Yep. And I need some Galler.
Oh, yeah.
And some Glenn. Plan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're coming up soon.
Yeah.
From memory. But
good.
Yep. Don't recall anything specific, but we'll have fun. But I guess interest of time, less is more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yep. Well, take care. See you now.
Bye, everybody.